that's involved with that. Amen? Okay, going to be in Psalms chapter 53. Psalm 53, verse 1. Give you a second there to get to your Bibles and get those opened up. Well, I tell you, last night I woke up and my phone, I heard my phone kind of go off at like 3 o'clock in the morning, some kind of message sound, and I heard Sherry's go, and I said, man. I said, you know, it can't, if it's a crisis, somebody be calling, but there's a message, it's not good at this hour. I don't want to get up. I won't be able to go back to sleep if I see that it's something. I said, you know, maybe something I need to read later. And then the wind was blowing so bad, I thought a train was running outside the window, and I thought, well, maybe it's a tornado warning. I ought to go look at that. So I got up and ran out there. I don't know what it was, wasn't anything on the phone, but, you know, boy, that wind was something else last night. And praise the Lord, I live in the woods or pretty close to the house. I kept thinking about this one big tree out back, and I held Sherry's hand. I figured if we were going to go, well, we'd go together, you know. So we lived. Amen. So Psalm 53, the Bible says in verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back, and they are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word and the fellowship that we've had this morning and the singing and the songs. Lord, we're thankful that we can be here, that we have the health to be here, Lord, that we get to come to church. We're thankful for that. And Lord, I pray that you meet with us this morning. Lord, speak to each heart that's here. Lord, use me, Lord, and to preach your word. And I pray decisions will be made today, Lord, and we'll trust you for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The title of the message this morning is The All-Seeing God. The All-Seeing God, you know, I've had this theme since the first of the year about the vision, the 2020. We did the 2020 vision for Jesus, and then last week we looked at how Satan tries to blind the minds of men to the truth of the gospel. And then, you know, the more I got to looking in the Bible, I said, the more I look at the Word of God, the more I see how much the Bible says about looking and seeing. I mean, that's just, it's all over the place. And so I got to thinking this thought about, you know, about what God sees. And I wanted to look at that, really take a look at what God sees. I mean, the Bible talks about that. The Greek word for God is theos, and it comes from the root word theistei, and that word means to see. It literally means to see. So the word for God means to see, or the all-seeing one would be a description of the all-seeing God. And you know, we know, I think, or we should know, if you don't know this, I'll tell you this morning, but you know that God is omnipotent. That means that he's all-powerful. And what all-powerful means there's no limit to God's power. There's just no limit to it. And your mind can't really comprehend that because everything we know, tangible things, we know there's limits to those things. But God is all-powerful, that there's no limit. There's nothing. That's why nothing's impossible with God. And then the Bible also teaches us that God is omniscient. That means all-knowing. Now, the reason that he's all-seeing is because he's all-knowing. And so I think all-seeing kind of fits in there with this and the next one. So omniscient, all-knowing. And then there's omnipresent God. And omnipresent means that he's everywhere at one time. Now, it's hard to wrap our head around that, you know, with the mind that we have. I don't struggle with it. I just believe it. You know, that's what the Bible says. I just believe it, that God is everywhere at one time. That means we're having church here today, and the Bible says where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst, and people down the road are having church as well, and God's there and God's here, and where God's people gather, and he's everywhere all at the same time. And so when we look at omnipresence and omniscience together, that would mean that he's the all-seeing God, because he's everywhere all at the same time, and he's all-knowing. He understands everything. So then I thought about this question right here, and I have this question. Does the fact that God is all-knowing and that he's all-seeing, he sees everything, he's omnipresent, that he's everywhere, Does that knowledge have any effect upon your life, how you live? Knowing that God sees everything. God knows everything. And I'll talk about this later. When he sees everything, he also sees the inner man, the heart as well. Does that have any impact upon your life? If God could not see for a period of time, what would change for you? If there was going to be a stretch of time when God wasn't going to be able to see everything, what would change for you? How many people in the world would act differently if there was no God? Well, there's millions of people that wouldn't change a thing. Millions of people wouldn't change a single thing because they're already living in this world like there is no God. Or that, at least, that God cannot see them. That's a pretty profound thought. So I want to talk to you this morning just about four things. And, you know, what all God can see. I'd never exhaust that topic if I preached on it for every Sunday from now till next year. I'd never get done with it. But I just got some of the things that came to my mind about what does God see? What does God see? Well, the very first thing is that God sees his creation, which we are humans, part of that creation. The Bible says there in our text this morning, Psalm 53, 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool. Did you know that April 1st is National Atheist Day? You know what day that is? That's April Fool's Day. Now, that's National Atheist Day. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. But a quick look at creation. And I've known and I've read about and studied and looked, and there's men that they believed that there was no God, but they were scientists and they were professors. But the more they kept looking at creation, they came to the conclusion, and these men weren't the fools, because they really came to the conclusion by looking at creation that there had to be a God, because there was no way that all of this, all of creation, everything about the universe and the earth and the planets and on the axis it's on and the rotation of the earth and the distance from the sun and all the other things and cells and everything in your body, all the stuff that we could look at in creation, how it all works. They said, there's no way this accidentally happened. There was a creator. A creator. They understood that. Now, they might not have known everything about God or what they could know about God, but they just realized there was a creator. And that God created everything that is created. Everything that we look at. It's, you know, the body is an amazing. I mean, just your cells and how it all, you know, you breathe in air and it goes into your lungs and it gets into your bloodstream and, you know, it goes around, the heart pumps it around. How all that works. You know, it's just an amazing thing. And the brain. The brain is faster than any computer that's ever been made in the world. The fastest computer in the world is not as fast as your brain. Well, most of you. Some of us brain. It's not. They have figured, because what all your body, you know, I was sharing with you last week about vision, about this shooting demonstration, and Paul and I were talking about it later on, and the guy was explaining, you know, one of people's problems in training is, you know, we have these reactions. We have some reactions that are controlled and uncontrolled. Blinking is one. You know, we don't have to sit there and think, well, you know, it's time I blink. Let me think about this. Okay, there it goes. All right, move on. No, we don't think we can, but we can blink on purpose and we can stop ourselves from blinking. So it's controlled and it's a voluntary and an involuntary thing that we have it. But God made us that way. So here's creation right there, and he created men and women. And the Bible says, and I got to look, and I went all the way back in Genesis, and the first two chapters of the Bible, the Bible says that God created light, and then in verse 1:4, it says that he saw the light, and he saw that it was good. God said it was a good thing. I'm glad we have light. I love a sunny day. I know we need rain in that, but boy, I tell you what, if it's gloomy and gray all the time, man, I tell you, I'm about ready to take a pill, man. I mean, I get depressed. I mean, I don't care. It can be cold. Just let the sun shine. I like that. And then the Bible says there in the same area that he created the waters, and he saw that they were good. And he created the plants, and he saw that they were good. And he created day and night and saw that it was good. And he created the animals and saw that they were good. In chapter 1, verse 31, the Bible says that God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. That's what because he saw it. You know, he saw it. And the first time he ever said that anything was not good was when he saw Adam was alone. All the animals were paired up, but Adam was alone. And he said that was not good. That's the first time in the Bible said that it wasn't good. And so, but the thing is that man, the only thing that God created in his image, that's us, man, doesn't mean this image, but the capacity to worship, love, all those things he created in that image. The only thing that he created in his image, us, is the only thing in his creation that disobeys him. Isn't that ironic? The only thing. The animals obey him, the wind obeys him, the seas obey him, all the plants obey him. I can see some plant now, winter's coming, you know, I'm not going to let my leaves fall off. I don't care what God says, and I'm holding on for dear. No, that doesn't happen. The plants obey, right? So the only thing that God made in his own image and that has the capacity to think things or worship at least, that has the capacity to worship, disobeys him. And then, of course, we know because of that that sin entered into the world and it entered into the hearts of men. And God saw that too. Now, God had a plan. Listen, this didn't catch God off guard. Don't think that sin entered the world and God said, wow, what am I going to do now? No, he had the whole plan. And with the pea brain that I have, I've boiled this thing down before. Why did God do it this way? Because there was not a greater way in the world that God could show you that he loves you than for sin entered into the world and us need a Savior and him send his only son to go and die on a cross and shed his blood, gave his only son to die on a cross that you and I could have a Savior. So I'm not saying that's all of the definition, and God may have a reason that none of us can comprehend, but I know that that's one of the reasons that he wanted us to understand how much he loved it. Nobody can say that God doesn't love them because of Calvary and the cross. And so that was part of the plan. So God sees everything that he created. And then also another thing that God sees is God sees the wickedness that's going on in the world. I know today, you know, we look around, we see the news and we see what all's going on in the world. And we say, boy, you know, if there's a God, and I've had people say this to me, they weren't sure if there was a God or they wanted to claim there wasn't a God. Well, if there's a God, how come, you know, all this? How come all these deaths? How come babies die? How come there's these crimes, these wicked crimes that we see? Why do we have all those things? And part of it is, and a simple answer to that is because God did give us a free will and sin entered us and now our thinking and our hearts are corrupt and that's what it leads to right there in that same wicked group. The wickedness had to come because wicked men is the one that nailed Jesus to the cross, even though he was perfect and he was love and all those things. And that's how wickedness works. And so that was part of the answer. And I'm really not really talking about that this morning. But God sees. Genesis 6:5 says, and this is when God first created man and there was a space of time in the earth, man multiplied on the earth, that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That verse right there tells me two things. One, I already knew that he looked on earth and he saw evil continually, but it also tells us that he saw into the hearts of men. He saw the hearts, and it was only, and that their thoughts, and that their imaginations and the thoughts of his heart, he saw into the heart was only evil continually. They got a TV program. I don't watch that much regular like TV if it's sports, or I like some of the like National Geographic stuff. Sometimes they got it all jacked up too, but I watch some of those type things like that, you know, and we'll watch a few odds and ends, but they got this TV program on. I saw it on the commercial when I was watching a ball game of some kind, and the name of the program's called Evil. That's the title of the show. Well, I guess I'm assuming it's about evil. I mean, why do we already got enough evil in the world. I mean, they're going to make a TV program like to emphasize the fact that we got to see some more evil. Hey, I thought they ought to change the evening news into evil. That would be a good name for that. You know, the CBS 7 o'clock evil news. I mean, that would get, I mean, what else are they going to put on there? So they got this show, and now we got to emphasize the evil that's in the world. I mean, they know something about it, of course. That's a fact. But, you know, God looked down, and he saw the wickedness of man. You know, God looked down and when the very first man, the very first men and women, Adam and Eve, there in the Garden of Eden, and Eve started talking to that serpent, and that serpent started saying to Eve, "Hath God said?" And God looked down and he saw that. He saw that conversation taking place. He saw Cain and Abel in the field when Cain slew his brother Abel because he was jealous and angry because God accepted Abel's sacrifice because Abel did what God told him to do and Cain didn't do what God told him to do, and he got mad because somebody else did what God told him to do. And Cain slew his brother Abel out there in the field. God saw that. God looked down and he saw Lot when he was living in that wicked city, Sodom. And I spoke about that last week, I think, when those men surrounded Lot's house and wanted to bring that those two men out to be have immorality or immoral relations with them. God looked down and he saw that. He saw the Israelites in Egypt when they were crying out to God, and they were in Egyptian captivity because of sin, you know, and they had fallen into that, and he saw them there. He saw old Jonah when God wanted Jonah to go preach to the Ninevites, another wicked group of people, and Jonah didn't want to do it, and Jonah took off running. He thought he was going to run away from God. You can't run away from God. He got a boat ticket, went 1,000 miles in the opposite direction. Guess what? God saw him, and boy, God prepared a fish for him too. And he saw him when he got in the belly of the whale too. He saw old Jonah after he preached and Nineveh repented. You know, Jonah didn't want Nineveh to repent. He didn't want them to be saved, and he had a pouting attack. You ever have one of those? He didn't like the way it went, so he went out in the desert and he sat out there moping. God saw him out there too. Grew a little plant, a gourd came up to give him a little bit of shade. He saw him out there. He saw old Achan in his tent. When old Achan went, when God told him, he said, "You're going into Jericho. I don't want you to touch nothing. Everything's going to be dedicated to the Lord. Can't touch the accursed thing." Everything was to God. Old Achan thought, "Nobody will know." Got him a little piece of silver and a goodly Babylonian garment, it says, and he took that thing and he hid it in his tent. Nobody will know. No, God saw it. And he got called out on it too. God saw that, that one little act, one man in the middle of a million. There was a million people. Achan did something that seemed so harmless, just kept something, a little bit of silver and a little bit of clothes from the spoils. And he said, you know what he said? It won't matter. It's just a little bit of thing. And he said he took it to his tent and nobody was looking. And he had it hidden. He hid it up underneath his stuff in the tent. But God saw it. God saw that one little thing right there. He lost his life because of it. God saw David when he was committing adultery with Bathsheba as well. He saw Elijah when he was ran off and hid in a cave for a certain amount of time. And, he saw Peter when he warmed himself by the enemy's fire on the night of Jesus' trial. And he saw Judas when he went out into the night to sell him for 30 pieces of silver. And he saw Jesus when he was scourged and he was crucified. I mean, all, and fill in the blank with everything in between. God saw all those things. Every little thing. He saw it. He sees it. He sees it all. So we look at all the wickedness today. We look at the world we're living in. Immorality, murder, rape, abuse, lies, laws against, passing laws, nations passing laws against the laws of God. I just wondered about that. Man, I tell you what, God's a lot more long-suffering than I am. I'm going to tell you what, that would burn my hide up. It'd be hot. It would be bad. To pass laws against the laws that I had set for my creation and nations, pass those laws against that. And so he sees that. And the fact that he hasn't sent a bolt down here to burn this nation up is the evidence of the long-suffering of God right there. We're calling evil good and good evil today. And so he sees rebellion, godlessness. He saw it before in Noah's day. He saw it. He judged the earth in that day. That was when the flood came. We read one of the verses from Genesis. The flood came and wiped out all the earth except Noah and his family right there. He saw it, and he's going to come back, and he's going to judge it again because the world just as wicked, if not more wicked today than it was in Noah's day. And so God sees that. So he sees his creation. He sees his wickedness. And then right here on this point here, he sees us. Now listen, wickedness is not it doesn't stand alone. You know, there's just not wickedness. Wickedness is perpetrated through us, through men, mankind. If there wasn't any men, there wouldn't be any wickedness, not like what we see. And God sees us. And for not all the same, the reasons that you may think, maybe I'll help you here with this right here. He sees our actions and our wickedness, not only the actions, the outer man, but he sees the inner. Talk about that in a second, just like he saw the wickedness before. And people think, and the Bible talks about it, it said men love darkness Men love darkness, you know, and because their deeds are evil. So did you ever notice, isn't that when it all gets, I know it kind of correlates with going to work, but when everybody wants to get out and get in, it's at nighttime, right? You know, the thief, he breaks in when? At nighttime. He thinks nobody's going to see him. If we can do things in the dark, that's not going to be seen by anybody. But listen, God still sees it. So God sees it in the darkness. Or maybe that God, the thought is this. Now, you got to ask yourself this. Everybody, the people that are here that are saved, you know you're saved and you've trusted Jesus Christ. And right, and we know we got the Holy Spirit and all this. And most of the time, I tell the church a lot, there's nothing I'm going to tell you that you're going to go, wow, I didn't know that was wrong. Right? I mean, pretty much, I mean, if I get any on big ones, I mean, you already got it down pat. You know it's wrong, right? So when we do things that we know we shouldn't do, what are we thinking? I mean, we've got to justify it in our mind somehow and say, well, how about this one? It's not that bad. That's a good one, then. Oh, no, it is bad. Or you know, maybe God won't see, like Achan thought that. Maybe God won't see because of all, he's pretty busy, right? Maybe I'm just reading the things wrong. Maybe it's really not wrong. Society today, they think, I had a lady tell me when I went to witness to them, and they said, well, you know, the Bible's so subjective. I had to think, man, subjective. Let me look that up and see what. I said, no, listen, the Bible's not subjective. It's not. The Bible doesn't change. But the world thinks it does. And so everything, you see how what used to be sin in a lot of areas in the world is not sin, or the world doesn't think it is today because the world, that's what the world thinks, that it's subjective. So a lot of times people think, well, maybe it was wrong then, but maybe it's not wrong now. That's how people think. And so maybe God won't notice. Like I said, I talked about Jonah. He thought he could run from God and get away from God, but he found out that he couldn't do that. And some people even think in death, maybe I'll escape God in death. Proverbs 15:11 says, hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. You know what that means? That death. Death is before the Lord. That God, he sees death. And, you know, there's people that think, I've heard people say this, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get cremated. I'm going to get cremated and have all my ashes scattered out somewhere, and God's not going to be able to put me back together. Some people want to be, and I was in the Navy, I didn't see this, but I know they do it in wartime, burial at sea. You get buried at sea, what's going to happen to you? Well, your body's going to fall apart, and then probably the fish and everything. They think, well, I'm going to get buried at sea. That way, and their thought is, I know people, I talked to somebody one time, and that was their secret thought was, that way they were afraid of Judgment Day. And they said, God's not going to be able to put my body back together. Listen, I'm going to tell you something about God. He knows where every single atom. I don't care if you're died and buried in the ground and you are dead 500 years before God comes back and you've went back to the dust of the earth, that every single atom that made your body up, God knows where it is. Man, he can put it together in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. He can put your body back together. Amen? Amen. And so that's not going to keep them from facing the resurrection and standing before God at the great white throne. It's not going to stop that right there. And God, the Bible says that God buried Moses' body, and nobody knows where, but he knows. He knows where Moses' body is buried, but nobody else knows. But not only does God see us in our actions, he sees our heart. He sees the heart. We already read one verse there. And the Bible says that God searches the heart, that he ponders the heart, that he tries the reins. The reins would be your heart. That's what controls. See, whatever's in your heart, that's what you're going to do. So he controls the reins. You know what reins like on a horse. And the reins, the heart, is what's controlling us. He said he tries those reins. Genesis 6:5, and I read a few minutes ago, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. The thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, God sees outward actions, he does, and we see outward actions. But God also sees the inward, the thoughts, and the motive and everything that goes on in your heart. And listen to this. He's seeing it right this second. Right this second. No matter what you're thinking about, whether you're listening to me or not, God knows. He knows. You feel that little twinge of conviction? God knows. You reject that twinge of conviction? I'm not going to listen. God knows. He sees it all. He hears everything. But you know, when you think about this, and I think some people think this about God. Man, God's up there in heaven, and he's looking down, and he's got that old bony finger. He's got a finger. And he's looking for somebody to mess up. They say, aha! Caught you! That's all God's doing. That God doesn't want anybody to have fun. That you know, if you're a Christian, well, you just can't have any fun. That God just, you know, he's gonna, that everything fun is sinful. No, it's not. There's a lot of things fun that's not sinful. But that's not what God is. God sees those things. And he sees wickedness and evil because in a world that's apart from Jesus Christ, that's all that we can expect is wickedness and evil. But that's not what he's looking for. God is looking for faith. God is looking for somebody. Now, he sees it because he sees wickedness because it's there. But he's looking for somebody that has faith. You know, when those Israelites were in Egypt and they were about ready to come out, and Moses went head-to-head with Pharaoh, and Pharaoh kept promising to let the people go, and then he wouldn't, and he promised and he wouldn't, and finally he said, okay, listen, the angel of death is going to pass over this whole area. And he said, there's only one escape from it. He said, the firstborn male, I think it was, of every family, every animal, even the animals, I don't know if you knew that or not, is going to die. But there's a way of escape, and you had to take a lamb. This was the word of God. You had to take a lamb, you had to slay that lamb, shed its blood. And you had to roast the lamb. You couldn't break any bones. You had to eat it with bitter herbs, and it pictured some other things. All of it was a picture of Jesus Christ, what God's done for us. But they had to take that blood, and they had to put it on the doorpost, on the two-side doorpost, and then over the lintel over top. And you had to stay inside. I think at midnight, the death angel passed over. And everybody that had faith, so you didn't have to know a whole lot. You just had to, this is what God said, and you had to do what God said and believe God. And I can imagine there was somebody that didn't. I know that a lot of the Egyptians didn't. They put that door, and the death angel came. You know what the death angel did? He looked for the blood. He just looked to see the blood. And he was looking, and when he saw the blood, the Bible says that he passed over that house. And so that's all that he was looking for. He was looking for somebody that had faith in him. Did you have to know the Bible from A to Z? No, you didn't. You didn't have to know everything. They didn't even have the Bible. You didn't have to know. You didn't have to be able to quote scriptures. You just had to believe what you knew that God said. And that's the same way today God's looking for faith. And so, you know, after God got Jonah's attention, I was talking about him a few minutes ago, he got the whale business, and when the whale spit old Jonah out on the shore, the Bible says that Jonah went down to Nineveh. Ninevites were wicked people. Their favorite way of torturing victims of when they had a victorious battle was they would flay them to death. That means they would cut your skin and little pieces of meat off. They'd stretch you out, and they would just keep cutting little chunks off of you. Take a long time. If anybody wants to try that out, we could have an experiment here next Sunday and see. But they would flay you to death, take pieces of you, skin you alive, take pieces of you. And the Jews hated them. I can understand why. They hated them. But God says, you know what, Jonah, I want you to go preach to them Ninevites. And actually, the message that he preached was a message of judgment. But I want to tell you something about God. God loves you so much that when you hear a message of judgment and you're not dead that second, that means there's a chance that God is preaching you that, so you have a chance to repent and turn from your ways. If you're still here today, you have a chance to repent and turn from your ways. And what happened was that the Ninevites had a revival. Jonah went down there and preached, and they said, wow, man, there's judgment coming. We got to turn. And the Bible says, and God in Jonah 3:10 says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. He saw their repentance. That's what he was looking for. He saw, he had seen their wickedness, but he saw their repentance when they turned to another way. They turned to God's way. He was looking for it. You know what I thought about? I shared with you all the things that Paul saw, or God saw in wickedness. And when you think about what all he saw everything. When the Apostle Paul was in that storm on that ship, and there were some people that were, they were worshipers of false gods. And the angel appeared and said, "Don't worry." He said, the ship's going to be lost, but nobody's going to die. Paul shared that with those men right there, boy. And it was, they didn't. He saw Paul in that storm. He saw Paul and Silas when they were in the Philippian jail, and they were singing praises unto God in the dungeon, down in the dungeon at midnight. And the Bible says that there was an earthquake. Where do you think that came from? There was an earthquake, and it shook the doors open. And the prison keeper was going to kill himself because he thought all the prisoners ran out. But Paul told them all to stay. He said, "Hey, don't kill yourself. We're still down here." And he led that guy to the Lord. But God saw them down there, and that's why that happened. God saw this woman in the crowd one time that grabbed onto the hem of Jesus' garment. She had an issue of blood. Been 12 years, spent all of her living on doctors trying to get healed. She didn't know where else to turn. She turned to Jesus. God saw that faith right there. He saw this woman that gave only 2 mites when people were throwing all their money in the offering plate. She only had 2 mites, but it was all she had. He recorded that in the Word of God. I don't know the one, it didn't have the name. But God saw that somebody just put 2 mites. I'm thinking today, I guess what would be comparable to us, for us, I know there's a scale in my Bible somewhere, but I didn't look it up, but just for effect, 2 cents. A lot of people like to put their 2 cents in, but it's not in the... It's in a different place, right? It was the 2 mites. He put those, he saw that she just put in 2 mites. And the Bible said that if anybody would give a cup of cold water in his name, that he'd remember that. Just giving a cup of cold water in his name, he'd remember that. He saw old Zacchaeus in a tree and all a big crowd of people. One little guy ran down there when Jesus was coming through on his way to the cross and coming through Jericho. Old Zacchaeus ran in there and he got in a tree because he really wanted to see the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something, if you want to see God, if you want to feel God's presence, if you want to be saved, if you have faith to believe, I'm going to tell you something, he sees your heart, he knows. He knew Zacchaeus' heart. He said, "Zacchaeus, I'm come down from that tree right there." He saw that. He saw that centurion at the crucifixion that said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." He saw that. He saw John at the foot of the cross with his mother. He saw Mary at the tomb early that next morning. He sees faith. He's looking for faith. He saw it. There was a centurion that asked him. He said, "Lord," when he was speaking to Jesus, he said, "I got a servant that's sick." I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit. "I got a servant that's sick," and Jesus was going to come to him. He said, "Lord, you don't need to come to him. Just speak the word. I know he'll be healed." And Jesus, you know what Jesus said? He said, "I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." He took note of that faith right there that guy had. He was looking for it. There was one man that said, "You know, Lord," Jesus told him, he said, "Well, you know, if you believe, I think," he said, "I can heal your son." I think it was his son. And he said, "I believe." He said, "But Lord, help mine unbelief." You know what he said? He said, "You know what, I got some faith, but it could be better. But the Bible says that if we had faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, then we could do these great things." Now, mustard seed, I'm going to tell you what, if you dropped a mustard seed on this carpet right here, you wouldn't be able to find it. It is small. But God sees it. If your faith's only that big, the size of a mustard seed, God will see that. Faith and repentance, God's looking. He sees the wickedness. He sees his creation. He sees and he's looking at us, but he's looking for faith. And let me tell you this last thing, and I'm almost done. God sees the future. One time Jesus said, "You know, I must needs go through Samaria." Now, Samaritans, the Jews didn't like them. They wouldn't even go through Samaria. Prejudices. Jesus said, "I got a need to go through Samaria." Why? Because he knew that there was going to be a woman at a well at a certain time, and that she needed to be saved. He knew that she would be saved. He went to that well to speak to that woman about her soul. He said, "I got a need to go there." Listen, he saw into the future. He knew it was going to happen before it happened. Isn't that something? That he knows. He sees everything. Listen, God sees your past. He sees our present. He sees our future. He sees where you'll end up if you don't repent, if you don't turn to him in faith, he knows where your destiny will be. But remember when it, remember the Ninevites? God had a plan. There was going to be destruction. But he said he saw they repented and turned from the way, and he repented from what he was going to do. And it's the same way today. Listen, God knows we've all, God knows everything that's going to happen with every one of us. Every single person that's here. He sees everything you could be. I'm going to preach tonight about old Gideon. He told Gideon, he called him a mighty man of valor, even though he was hiding out behind the wine press threshing wheat because he was afraid of the enemy that was out there. But he wasn't speaking on what he was at the moment. He was speaking about what he would be. And it came to pass. It came to pass. Listen, God sees you, and God's looking for faith. He's just looking for some faith. Man, if you don't just, what do you got to know? You got to know two things. You got to know that you're lost, that you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. You got to know that. And you got to know that God loves you, that Jesus, he sent his son to die for you, that he died on the cross and paid all the penalty for your sin. If you would just ask him to come into your heart and forgive you, and you're born that way, if he would come into your heart and forgive you of your sins, you'll be saved today. You can be saved today. Everything can be changed. If God spoke to your heart, Paul's going to come. We'll have an invitation. I didn't have my piano player here for the effective music this morning. But Daryl's going to play. You need to come and you need to be saved. Get my attention. I'll take my Bible and show you how to be saved today.
Thank you, Pastor. Our hymn of invitation is hymn number 145. It is Well With My Soul, hymn 145.
Singing now, wait at the men's prayer advance every year. They usually sing that song. Man, you got 700 men, and that thing starts going. You cannot literally hear yourself singing. You can't even hear it in your own head. It's so loud. I mean, it's like your mouth is moving, like Barney Fife. It's moving, nothing coming out. Man, I mean, it is awesome, awesome, awesome.
When it's,
yeah, they do have the men on Facebook singing that there as well. On the offering, if you did.